Are you getting my point? It was because after he married from the place that the people said, don't marry from. Now listen, he now went to the same people that said, don't marry from there. He went to those same people and asked them, how do I run a marriage? And the people who said, don't marry from there, they have discovered that their ways of running marriage does not work when the people are from there. Do you follow what I'm trying to say? So you now go back to them and say, it was the will of God. We have married according to the will of God. And you're not wrong. And you're very correct. Except that when issues arise at home, you go to go and ask the same people who told you, don't marry from there. What do you think will happen to you? So your life will come scatter. Then the next guy won't want to marry. He said, see, you know, we want him. But if you had done what you did, you get my point? And then beyond that, you now take the scriptures and begin to build marriage principles on it. They will have discovered that everything they said was wrong. The next thing that will now happen is that, this young man, sometimes he seems to know what we don't know. Maybe one woman comes and say, don't know how to say it. My son wants to marry from here. And she's like, you see, they're thinking the old man will support. The old man said, relax. You know that time this boy wanted to marry, we said he should not. But look at it now. Who's the best in-law that we have? And that girl. Who's the best family that blesses us? It is them. Just leave these people. You know this church they go. Apparently they know something there that we don't. That's how you witness for Christ. Witnessing for Christ, it's not that you want to knock on the door of a stranger. Go. Repent or you go to hell. I hope you are getting the principle, honestly. No, this may be like a joke, but it's the truth. I was telling my wife, you know, my brother DJ got married today. And once again, thanks to all of you that came. And especially people like Ola Yinka and Lisemeka that made my life extremely very easy. Alright, took a lot of the burden of running around from me. I said, you know, for him, it was actually much easier to get married. Now, they're my in-laws, Amara's folks, they're very nice people, right? They're good people. But apart from that, I said, before, you know the interesting part, they knew me before they knew Deji. Yeah, they knew me first. That is, they knew my wife and my kids. Before they came to the picture, my children used to go to their house to go and play. In fact, it was in that arena, you know, of somebody going in, so Amara would come to our house to come and do, she and my wife had some dealings. And Deji was idling away that time. You see, everything has a good side of it. Everybody say amen. You know why he's so idling away in my house? For 2 years, there was one story or the other on his youth service. They forgot to send his name. As they were sending the name dropped on the road. They didn't find it when they got there. Cut a long story short, the young man never got to serve for a long time. Smart guy, very sharp guy, the best student in his class, didn't go for youth service. 2 years. Hey, but this is the story, the 2 years. So you come to Enugu and idle around. And Amara will come to the house to come and, you know, do deals with my wife. And then you will escort her when she's going. And then one day I went and saw them in Cyber Cafe. He's helping her check some things on the internet. You know, at the end of the day now, I pronounce you man and wife. So this one I'm making. Sometimes when maybe in-laws want to give problems and all of that, number one, I said, her folks are quiet. They're very nice people, very, very nice people. But that's a bit besides my point right now. Is the fact that before they knew him, they already knew my wife and knew my children. They have seen how my wife and I relate, how my children behave. Are you getting my point? So when a man now arose from there, my wife is from Delta State. I'm Yoruba. My wife is Yoruba. All right? So they've seen that marrying from a distant place is no longer strange to these people. And the man himself now left his place and came and is now living in Enugu, having his children in Enugu and building a ministry in Enugu. Do you get my point? Look, whether he acknowledges it or not, the fact is that I opened doors for him. I say amen if you believe it now. Let us assume that it didn't work like that. A number of times they had asked, hey, where is Pastor Bank? They say he went home to go and settle quarrel. You know, his wife packed away last month. And his mother has said she will never come back. Are you getting what I'm saying? So they have gone home now. The family people have gone to settle. So maybe he'll be back next week. He said, all right. Then one day the general comes and says he wants to marry. That's when people will be telling, come. You know these people, they are not used to wives from different places. So. See what happened to you. You know, they start telling story. That his brother said, last time you saw his wife, you know, there were three cocos in front of her head. It was him practicing on her now. Now, you get what I'm saying? You get the point I'm making? Yes. As a matter of fact, all my folks and people that you saw around, all of them love my wife. That is, in fact, if you hear the kind of comments they pass about her. So if you are from my zone, you now wake up one day and decide that you want to go and marry from Delta State, they are all behind you. Anybody who says you won't go is the one that's in trouble. No, I'm telling you, there was a time that if my mother wants to say something, she will call. Is your wife at home? I said, no, I will call back. I tried her number, it was not going. So she's not here. And I said, well, I said, what is it? Don't worry. Then later on, this happened some time ago, my mother wants. Later on, I asked my wife. My mother was trying to say, yeah, she finally got me and we talked. What was it? Is this? I said, why did she talk to me directly? She decided that you're a very difficult person. That I'm easier to talk to than you. Now, you are getting what I'm going to explain. That when you have now aligned your life, all right? Because you see, if you start out in the spirit, you can never complete it successfully in the flesh. Do you get what I'm saying? If you, because of Christianity, break cultural barriers, please listen to me. You will have to finish that course in the center of Christianity. You can't finish breaking cultural barriers at the beginning. Start not in the spirit. Then later you want to now cement everything with cultural principles. It's called double-mindedness. You will never receive anything from the hands of God. Are you getting my point? I just want to explain that principle. So that when we have started out obeying God, we may have come from difficult situations. We may have had unusual backgrounds. We may have had things that happened to us in life. Let me give you an example. Do you know, I meditated on the other day. I said, it's not every harlot that's a harlot because she's a harlot. There are girls who went abroad believing that this auntie wants to help her go to school. You know that? And they can't come back home. Not because they are wicked. They can't find a way back home. Such a person was a Rahab that God delivered. So you know people have been through such circumstances. Listen, you know, I told you that when a woman decides to marry four husbands, I was not living with a fifth one that was not her husband. That's the Samaritan woman. It wasn't out of joy and gladness. Are you getting me? It was out of the pressures of life that she found herself in that situation. That was what excited Jesus in that he ministered the word to her and she was delivered. So excited he was that they brought food. He said, I'm no longer hungry. What am I saying? All the stories of the negative backgrounds become insignificant if we take the call of God in the center of it and produce glory for the earth to see. That's why we tell the story of Rahab. She was a harlot, but she's now an ancestress of Jesus Christ. And believe me, such things still happen till today. Are you getting my point? It's just that Rahab could not have gotten that miracle if she decided to stay in what's the name of that? In Jericho. She needed to side with God, move in the direction that God was moving. Listen, even after she helped the spies and the people of Israel, and they spared her life, so that when the angels pushed the walls down, her own segment was spared. You know, she had the choice of staying behind in Jericho. Nobody was forcing her to go. And let me say it again. There are many that stayed behind in those Jerichos. And you never read their stories. So the effect of the call of God superimposed upon their background was never noticed. That is why, look, anytime I preach like this, I even remember the vow. I beg God, I beg. Anything in my life that will not allow the full manifestation of your glory, I beg, reveal it quickly that we might confess it out. Whichever way you have to do it, remove it all. Because I will hate to be another story of mediocrity. Listen, I have insulted things that are normal to people. You heard me long enough. I have refused to follow certain orders. Everybody said, this is how to do church. This is how to do ministry. This is how to live life. This is how to make money. And I have said, no! It is not in accordance with God's order. Therefore, I have made up my mind. I will follow through into the promised land so that God will not have me die in the wilderness. Because if you don't, that's what causes a lot of nonsense testimonies you hear. So that's why this person believed God and he died. Listen to me. If anybody believes God truly to the end, he won't die. And if he were to die, he will rise again. But a lot of people, because they were taught, confess at the beginning, they believe small. They shouted, oh God, go and read the parables of the sower again. He said, the ones that did not have deepness or depth of earth were those that sprang up quickly. But as soon as trials came, what happened? They withered because they did not have any depth of earth. What am I trying to say? The people that make the loudest noise sometimes cannot stand the trial of faith. They are the ones that give faith a bad testimony. Because they are the ones that made the noise. I don't know whether I get my point. They made the noise. Then after making the noise, they withered under trial. They became another story to tell. See that guy? That's why he was talking that time. When we said, go and do something that will make money for you. He said, it doesn't matter. As long as I'm following God. Why? Because two times he tuned to the wheel of success. Or somebody told him something somewhere. He abandoned every other thing he knew. And fought. Then when trial started, he quickly went back. Then they filed it as a story to tell. This man tried it. He failed. And what do they mean by he failed? When he turned back, the soul of God did not have any pleasure in him. Are you getting my point? Is anyone that will take hold of the plow and look back is not fit for the kingdom? Remember Lot's wife. These are all people that left Sodom and Gomorrah and then stopped somewhere along the line and turned back and they dissolved and became a heap of salt. Unfortunately, those without understanding use them as reference points of why faith doesn't work, not understanding that they did not follow it to the end. What am I saying? I'm explaining that no matter where you are from, your life was born, was created on purpose, which I happen to understand has a lot to do with where you came out from. And the fact that most people that came from that area go in a particular direction, those who have those experiences, their childhood or their early days of young man and young womanhood, had those experiences, they came in, went in a particular direction, that fact doesn't change the fact that if you will answer the call, you will go in another direction. Are you getting my point? People have two stories here and there. This is why this person did like this. You want to go and marry from here? Those women, when they finish with you, you won't believe it though. They talk. Then you started, listen, when you take decisions like that, please, you have to obey God to the shedding of blood. Because this is how they overcome Satan. By the blood of the Lamb, by the word of their testimony, and they did not love their lives even unto death. Are you getting my point? That was how they overcame. It wasn't because they came and shouted, the blood of Jesus. The shouting blood of Jesus, believe me, in itself, that statement has no meaning. I told that the blood speaks. Everybody say the blood speaks. Yes, blood speaks. Every blood that is shed speaks. The blood of Abel shouted vengeance. The blood of Jesus started shouting forgiveness and healing and redemption. Saying that the man that was born from this particular kind of background can become something. Doctors may say he would die when he was born, but we are saying the blood has spoken life into his system. So how do you triumph by the blood? You find out what the blood has spoken concerning your situation. And you start saying the same thing. And don't change your mind. Don't change the principles that are in accordance with what you are speaking, even if you are threatened with death. Now, I told you that day when we were talking about principle of multiplication under this, our SEEDS program, Spiritual Economic Empowerment and Development Strategies. I said, there's a time you must take your businesses in life to another level. And at such time, it will appear like you are jeopardizing that which you have built on a solid foundation. It will appear as if the spirit of death is calling. Why are you taking the risk? Why don't you stay there and be normal? I said, that is the reason why you will never go far if you answered it. Are you getting my point? Listen to me. If one who has built a great business to a particular level using godly principles, if he now decides to stay there, after a while, it becomes a story of why you should not use godly principles. Not, people won't know that the reason why he became that story is because when God called upon him and said, now let us launch to the next level, he turned back and the soul of God no longer had pleasure in him. And he said, but my the just man shall live by his faith. That is, if he had followed me through, life would have been imparted into his situation. Are you getting my point? That's how we triumph by the blood. We stick with what God is saying in the face of challenges, even though it looks like we are going to die. And death is not always physical. It might be like everybody that you know will depart from you. You stick with God's principles. It may be like everybody says, this is how you get a job and become very rich. You say, no, I won't do it. You say, you won't get anything. You say, fine, I won't get it. But at the end of the day, when you are stuck with God, believe me, nobody who hopefully wait for him will ever be put to shame. That's the scripture, not my word. You wait for God, you walk with God, it will never happen. Listen to me clearly. It will never happen that somebody will open his mouth and say, we told you. Are you getting my point? I said, it will never happen that somebody will open his mouth or her mouth and say, and we warned you. It will never happen. It will never happen. Ha. David said, let not those who wait for you ever, or who trust in you ever, be put to shame. Let not my enemy triumph over me. Let them never say, aha, aha, where is his God? And listen, those were prophetic prayers, those were messianic prayers, and they were answered as soon as Jesus shed his blood on the cross. Are you getting my point? Are you getting what I've said so far? The Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. All right, so let's go into what now, locating specifically that call of God for our lives. The will of God is good. Don't forget, what I was trying to say is that you were born on purpose. Your life is not an accident. God knew you would come from that situation, that background that you came from, and he has something specific to do, all right, about that. That's why you will find that in modern history until today, a lot, I'm not saying everyone, a lot of people that have the most powerful healing ministries were very sick at a point in time in their lives. Oral Roberts was dying. Lester Sumrall, who I know his story because I read a number of his books very well, he was lying down, dying as a 17-year-old. When God showed him a vision, he had to choose between a Bible and his casket. He was already on the road to the casket, so why take? I mean, it made sense to just try the Bible. Kenneth Hagin, listen, it's the kind of healing ministry he had. Let me describe it to you. The Lord appeared to him once and said, this is how you would pray for those that come to you for healing. You put your hands on them. A fire jumps from one hand to the other. They know that there's an evil spirit there. Rebuke the spirit. He said, and that was one. And on that one, he said, I'll put an anointing in your hand. He said, tell the story every time somebody comes to you for prayer, and every single one who we believe will be healed. Where did this start from? He was born with a deformed heart, developed leukemia as a young boy, and was going to die when he found out the word of faith in the scriptures, Mark 11, verse 24. He read that whatever whosoever shall say to this mountain, be thou removed and be cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, shall have whatever he says. He said, therefore, I say to you, whatever you ask God when you pray, believe that you have received it and it shall be yours. He believed that, operated that word, and he rose up completely healed. That was the foundation for the most powerful healing ministry, all right, that his generation experienced. Are you getting the point I'm going to make? I was reading the story about two nights ago in my house. John Gillick, a man who I admire more than any other one. John Gillick became a preacher as a young boy. He was a businessman also. And then he married as a young man. I think he was 21 or so, 23, thereabout, when he got married. And a few years after that, his wife became seriously ill. And she was going to die. And they took her to the healing ministry of John Alexander Dowie. And Dowie laid hands on a woman that had been condemned to death by the doctors. And the woman rose up healed. After that, John G. Lake became committed to the gospel of divine health. So much that was about the only thing he preached. And there were over 100,000 documented healings. The city was living in the U.S., Spokane. Spokane, Washington was declared the healthiest town in America. because of the ministry of John G. Lake. They call him Dr. Lake, not because he's a medical doctor, a PhD holder, but because people were so healed. He said, since we are healing everybody, we hereby give you the title, doctor. But it came out of a nasty experience. Many people have had such nasty experiences and they have died. Are you getting my point? But when he took, listen, that this is how powerful, I admire that man so much. I read his materials all the time. Powerful minister. One day he got home and said his sister was dead. They said she was sick and the man rushed down home. By the time he got there, they said the girl was dead. He looked at her and said no. He said, my spirit won't let her go. Sent a mail, a telegram, straight to Dawi, who was living in a city called Zion City that he built. And he said, look, my sister apparently has died, but my spirit won't let her go. And believe it, I trust that if we agree that she will rise back to life. Dawi quickly sent a message back. He said, keep praying, I am with you. The man was pacing up and down the room, praying. Those mourning looked at the time, said, wait, I think she's moving her eyelids. The woman rose up back to life. Are you getting my point? Listen, I said, that's what we are going for. It's not playing church. You get my point? That's what Paul was saying. He said that I might know him and what? The power of his resurrection. Oh, the Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. That's what I'm trying to say, my brethren. So out of the ashes of that which you don't love, which you don't enjoy, which people have told you stories that it never goes well, people come from here. I'm telling you, you were born on purpose and there's no accident in it. And there is a glory that is hidden in there. And if you take God's word and walk with it, and walk on it, and let it walk on you, one day, right now you may not know, because this is how these things work. Joseph was in jail. Look, this boy didn't do anything wrong. Before he went to jail, he was going to save slavery. And he's prospered in his master's house and did nothing wrong. And they kicked him out of the job. Maybe somebody understands what I'm saying. It wasn't you. They said money is lost in the office. You didn't even come to work that day. Your boss doesn't want to hear. He sacks everybody. You have prayed, Holy Ghost, fire, anointing, everything. Next day you come, the man says, if you come back here, sometimes we believe too much in the power of our own prayers, not realizing that God has a purpose. A friend of mine was living in a small three-bedroom or two-bedroom apartment somewhere nearby, not in Enugu here. And one day the landlord decided I didn't like this Pentecostals, they prayed too much. I'm serious, though. The sin they committed is that they pray in the house. He said they should go. And because they had faith, they decided to pray. Oh, and they fasted and spoke in tongues and spoke in English and spoke in Igbo and spoke every language they knew. And the ones they did not know. Favor in Jesus. And they drove to the man's house, believing that we have conquered the realm of the spirit. As soon as they got there, the man warned them that, look, next time... As he was coming back home from the trip, he saw a new building and stopped and said, who owns this house? And they told him. He walked up to the landlord, and that house became the one he started living in. Much bigger than the one he was living in. More comfortable. He had more peace. That is the one he prayed for. He didn't get it back. So don't kill yourself because of the job they took away from you. Are you getting the point, Remy? Now he has, look, he was describing the house that he built. That is a friend of mine. He's built a house now in the same town. Was describing that the house is fit to be a guest house. Every room, a proper suite in itself. Some people are casting out devils. I'm fighting things that God said, this one won't bless you. You are bigger than this. So I've taken it away from you. I hope you're getting my point. That was what happened to Joseph. He could have sat down, been whining, God, you won't do this. After all, I paid my tithes. I gave offering. When they say fast, I fasted. When they say rebuke, I rebuked. When they say pray, I prayed. Therefore, we'll come against God. You will expose Mrs. Potiphar. You will expose Mrs. Potiphar. Everybody will shout, amen. Expose Potiphar. Amen. Expose Mrs. Potiphar. Amen. Expose her. You vindicate your son. When they finish, the first year will pass. The boy is still in jail. Second year passes, the boy is still in jail. When they say go and walk, say and pray, some of the prayers are nothing but grumblings, no thanksgiving. But Joseph picked himself and said, man, let's do some work while we are here. He worked so hard, he became the chief of the jail. Interestingly enough, let me tell you, he was not rewarded. Some people think, you know, the way we preach sometimes, we think they will now promote him out of the jail. He was never promoted by that, you know, line out of the jail. The people that God used to liberate him did not get to know him because he was the chief. He just saw them sad. He said, what's the problem? He said, we dreamt a dream. He said, I know how to interpret dreams. Let me hear it. And listen, you know, for all the who you have done good to, who never helped you, hear this. The man he did good to did not remember him. 2 full years passed. There are those who forget you. You know why they forgot? The angel of God took the ability to remember you from their heads. Don't be angry. Now, if you listen to me on radio, I've said, stop being angry with people. If you help me, it's because God said, help me. If you don't help me, it's because God removed the ability for you to help me out of your hands. You're not my God. If you help me, I'll show gratitude. I'll thank you. You're not my God. If you refuse to help me, I will show gratitude to God. And I won't be angry with you. And I said, when I needed help, you didn't help me. See, it's my turn now. I'll pay you back. That is the gospel according to Donald Trump. It's not the word of God. Are you getting the point I'm making? Yes. But finally. And let me tell you, the day before Joseph came out of jail, it was just another day. Oh, I hope you're getting my point. Listen, stop tying your activities. Stop tying your activities, spiritual activities, with the emergence of results. Don't think it's the night after you refuse to sleep and you fasted that suddenly breakthrough will come in the morning. I've told you before, in fact, let me tell you, it's scripture, Mark chapter 4. The kingdom of God is like a seed that a man plants. The earth by itself bringeth forth. He himself does not know how. The prayer that will, and the obedience that will bring breakthrough upon you tomorrow, you probably released it 2 years ago. And you thought it didn't work. As I do testimonies, I'm very careful. And you judge testimonies. And we just began to pray. And immediately, listen, I have seen tangible results. Especially, at least, the one, funny enough, all the stories I can tell of these so-called tangible results have been when I prayed for other people. Interestingly enough, this is the interesting part. If I want to tell you stories of how we prayed and God just manifested, wow, like this, in direct, you know, relationship to the time of that prayer, that has always been for other people. Even had issues, he called us, we joined hands, bam, instantly. Somebody was sick, we prayed, bam, instantly. I mean, I can start telling you stories. Interesting enough, I have none to say about myself. Not one. I'm sorry, I just discovered it, just telling you, now that's why I'm reasoning it out. Does it mean God has not been blessing me? What am I saying? The day before Joseph's breakthrough finally came, when he left jail and began to prosper, and went into the fullness of the manifestation of his call for life, it was another day. He slept the usual sleep. He woke up in the morning. We don't even know the time of the day that the chariots arrived. Say, who? Yeah, they say, who's the chief of this jail? There's one boy here. They say he interprets dreams. They may have been one joker, they pretending. They will take that joker and say, this one. The man said, no, this is not the guy that helped me. No, I told you, blessings have what? A name. They have labels. They can't say, sorry, we sent, that Jew, that Hebrew boy, yes, we sent him out. He went to the field. So since he's not around, take another person. No, that couldn't have happened. They had to wait for Joseph. They would have had to wait for him if he wasn't around. Please, I hope you've gotten my point. That is, through all the negative things of his past, all right, still came forth the call that God had upon his life. And what I want to start sharing today is from that Romans chapter 12. Did I say we should read there? Okay, I said you should open somewhere, and we have not read anything. Have we read anything? The Lord is still good, Abby. My time is really gone. Anyway, I want to explain the principle, all right? That's why I say we should read that Romans chapter 12. Let's just open quickly to it. The book of Romans chapter 12, I will introduce that and we're out of here. It says, I urge you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. He says, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. For through the grace given to me, I say to every man among you, not to think more highly of himself than he ought to think, but to think so as to have sound judgment. Or soberly, King James says, as God has allotted to each a measure of faith. Let me not begin to discuss this one. We'll discuss it next Saturday. For just as we have many members in one body and all the members don't have the same function, so we who are many are one body in Christ and individually members one of another. And since we have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let each exercise them accordingly. If prophecy, according to the profession of his faith, if service in his serving, or he who teaches in his teaching, or he who exhorts in his exhortation, he who gives with liberality, he who leads with diligence, he who shows mercy with cheerfulness. Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil, or reject it. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Give preference to one another in honor, not lagging behind in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, persevering in tribulation, devoted to prayer, contributing to the needs of the saints, practicing hospitality. Let me just stop there. Now, why did I read this? I wanted to bring out something. And we're going to start from here next time and continue to develop what I had planned to say today. And there's a message I preached some time ago, what I call the threefold purpose of God in your life. I said there are three things that God wants to do in your life. Number one is what he's doing in you. Number two, what he's doing through you to the body of Christ. And number three, what he's doing through you in the world. Those are the three things that God is interested in, all right, concerning your life. There's a message we have on that series, on that particular subject, the threefold purpose of God. I said number one is what God is doing in you. Number two, there's what he's doing through you in the body of Christ. And number three, there's what he's doing through you in the world, all right, affecting the people of this world as a matter of ministry activity. And those are the things that you have to focus on if you are going to be walking according to purpose. And I'll develop those things beginning again from next time. And we'll use this Romans chapter 12 as our text, all right? God has given each person a grace, all right, and it's based upon the purpose he has for his life. He said, thou didst form my inward parts. I will give thanks to thee because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are thy works, and my soul knows it very well. When it says, thou didst form my inward parts, that is, according to the function that I was supposed to perform, you have created my inward parts, my spirit, my soul, my body, my brain. There's a way it is wired to fulfill that purpose. Are you getting the point I'm making? He said, sacrifice and offerings you have not desired. He said, a body you have prepared for me. That is, before you came, God shaped and molded a body for you to perform your function. You get my point? And so in understanding this, we'll be able to understand what God wants to do through us. Number one, in us, I must emphasize that again, though I will try not to spend all the time on it, because we did a long series on it, the image of Christ. We discussed that. That the first and foremost, God wants to recreate the spirit of Christ in you. And once that spirit is poured inside you, automatically you manifest certain things. And those things will be in accordance with how God wired your inward parts. Therefore, you will discover fluency of speech if God calls you to be a preacher. Are you getting my point? Yes. You will discover the ability to imagine things. Maybe God called you to be a designer, an engineer of some sort. How you know those who are gifted and those who are not? Just check those who can sing and those who can't. Are you getting my point? Being, in fact, or those who can draw or those who can't. The people who don't have the gift, who their inward parts are not wired, they can try hard through many lectures and tutoring, they're able to learn to do some things. But there are those with little tutoring, because the fact that you have the gift doesn't mean you shouldn't fine-tune it. But with little tutoring, you discover that something just comes out of them naturally. And that's what he meant when he said, that each person has a grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. That is a measure of faith, all right? Now, the measure of faith means that word faith simply means confidence. There are things you do with confidence. I always give myself as an example. I preach, that is, I know the fear, say I know go get something, talk. It doesn't be like, hey, I know go know waiting, I go talk. It's in the blood. And like I always emphasize, there is something that for you. For you, there is something that's just like that. The problem with people is that maybe because you come every Saturday, Pastor Bank finishes preaching and you are blessed. It's an unconscious thing. You want to emulate that which blesses you. You is unconscious. You like movies too much. You suddenly think you can act. There's no problem. Go for auditioning. When they don't reject you, tire, you'll find another job. But after watching movies so much, you think you can act. But don't worry, as you walk with God and you build the Spirit of Christ in you, you will discover that which is natural. And you will discover the confidence with which you can handle some things. And that's the serious key in identifying your gifts and identifying your calling. I hope you got my point. All right, let us pray.